Atheist Nomads episode 383, Atheist Army for the Antichrist.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin, and joining me is Jason.
Hey everybody, how's it going?
It's been a long time since we've had you on the show.
I have been slowly getting crushed underneath a large glacier of academic progress, so...
So yeah, how is school going? Are you what year are you at now?
I am finishing up my second to last semester, finishing my undergrad.
Okay, very nice.
I've been on the slow road. This will be 7 years when I'm done, but I'll be done.
Okay,
in the spring.
7 year senior, not bad.
Right.
And how is it going with the distance learning and pandemic doing schooling? Is that going well?
It's getting done, but I wouldn't say it's going ideally, but I think that's because everybody's learning how to do things differently in this era of online meetings.
Yeah.
Like for me, like the end of the spring semester, earlier this year when the pandemic caused the university to close down, like I had to switch from teaching a lab to online. And this semester has been completely teaching a lab online. And that can be a little tough because it's sometimes harder for people to understand where the data is coming from if they don't collect themselves. But it's been a combination of videos of the physics stock room collecting the data and spreadsheets and notes of measurements and that kind of thing. And I think it's fine for like traditional lecture, at least as far as I'm concerned, taking classes. Like I'm fine doing an online class and doing an online lecture. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it turns out there's a couple of subjects that's really hard for me, but some of them I do just fine. But teaching a lab is difficult. I think teaching a class would be better. And the only class that like I'm really struggling with in the online format is intermediate quantum mechanics.
Yeah.
That one's tough in person anyway. But luckily, the professors at Boise State record all their Zoom lectures. So they're loaded into my Blackboard, and I've just been downloading them and saving them on a hard drive and just going back and reviewing them and homework, and that's been tremendously helpful.
But doing it definitely would make sense that doing lectures are pretty fine. If it's a class that needs a lot of discussion, that would be really hard to do remotely. And a lab would be, that's got to be almost impossible.
Well, like on Zoom, we just create breakout rooms and then groups of three each get their own room to like work and talk. And I just have them put all their lab reports together in a Google Doc that they then just share with me when they're done with it. And then at that point, I'll just make a copy of it and file it in my Google Drive and grade it when I have time.
Huh. All right. Well, so it is working.
Yeah. We're figuring out ways to do it. And I use like my iPad's whiteboard option with an Apple Pencil and just kind of go over like the lecture, what we're doing at the start. And that's like 10, 15 minutes of explaining what we're doing and then having them go to it. It's been working out pretty well, but I have been grading a little less harshly because of the way we're doing things.
Right.
So basically I have a spreadsheet that's a rubric that if people like forget things or do things wrong, I enter it in there and then I'll end up not taking the full penalty just because I know it's harder online.
Yeah.
So I'm too nice is what it is.
The quality of the education, I'm sure, is diminished. Hopefully it's just not diminished too much.
Yeah. For the classes that I'm taking, I'm putting in a lot of extra effort on the home end by rewatching the lectures. I've downloaded a bunch of different textbooks for each subject so that I can get a different perspective just so... because we're missing like kind of like the Q&A and the ability to team up and work on stuff with classmates is harder now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do miss being on campus, just doing homework, like on the fourth floor of the physics building and just being able to talk to people as they come by and say hi to your professors. And last semester we had an instructor who created a virtual hallway just to fill that hole, but it was always on during a time when I was in class, so I never got a chance to use it, but idea a lot.
Yeah. And I did school back in, you know, college and a year of grad school back when my college had two T3s and an ISDN for a grand total of 4.5 megabits per second of bandwidth.
Oh, man.
For the entire campus. And at the time, that was as good as you could possibly get in Eastern Washington. So that was pretty good bandwidth. But doing everything online, even 15 years ago, would have been impossible.
Right.
It was just starting to become a thing, but it was nowhere near as high a quality. And yeah, just because of bandwidth alone. And now with 100 megabit or higher being relatively standard, unless you're in a rural area, it's pretty good. Of course, it is also exacerbating some of the disparities between those who live in rural areas and those who live in more urban areas, where online schooling works very poorly or doesn't work at all if you're in a spot where there isn't internet.
Right. It's really highlighting that in these emergencies and the way that we do things nowadays, that having access to the internet's not a luxury.
Mm-hmm.
It has been for a while now, but it's really being highlighted now, just especially with education. Like, yeah, you need good connection speeds, and you need to find ways to fill those social holes, especially for kids. Cause like, my kids are both in online school too, with a virtual academy. And I know, we have an 11-year-old girl who is really hurting for social interaction. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just really obvious that she misses being able to socialize. But in the wake of the loss of interacting with the classmates in person is this really hilarious thing that is Flipgrid drama. Are you familiar with Flipgrid?
No.
Well, what it is, it's a site where you can go on and you can record short videos with your computer or your phone. So it's what they're doing to take discussions. So you go on, you record short video, and then people can reply to your video. And in her online Flipgrid things, like, she'll come to us with updates like every couple of days, talking about how this one kid, he keeps asking out girls on Flipgrid. He keeps asking them to be his girlfriend. And it's like, we don't even know why he wants to do that. Like, what are we even going to do? Like, it's just, it's not, imagine all the dumb stuff you said to your friends being recorded and your teacher could go look at it.
Yeah. Oh my, that is, oh, that's crazy.
But it's like, all right, Rory, how many people is Caden trying to date this week?
Well, and this does actually segue nicely into our first news story.
That was all.
Which is, wait, what was that?
No.
American Atheists filed a complaint with the Hawaii Department of Education over one of their online education systems they were using, which was Acelius Learning Accelerator. And the complaint was that it was basically all Christian propaganda. An example from the press release from American Atheists is that they taught about Abraham and the Covenant, Moses and the Israelites, Solomon's Temple, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus parables and teachings, crucifixion of Jesus, Muhammad and the angel Gabriel, and Christian apostles and churches as world history.
Oh, wow. Well, don't get me wrong here. I think that studying like the history of religion is an important part of world history, but
absolutely.
It certainly depends on what you're putting first as the purpose of the history. Like, understanding how countries have made decisions and how civilizations route they have is different than saying this one particular religion is the way that needs to be still.
Right. Like, there is no reason to talk about Abraham and the Covenant in a world history class at all. Moses would barely fit into a legitimate world history class on the probably mythical lawgivers of, you know, ancient societies.
Right.
And Solomon's Temple doesn't really belong at all.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You can't get through a good world history program without learning a little bit about the Jesus story and Christianity, and without learning a little bit about Muhammad and his story. But parables and teachings, those aren't needed. And the crucifixion of Jesus doesn't really need to come up in world history until you're getting to pogroms and blood libel being used as justification to slaughter Jews.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, it shouldn't be being taught like it's Hammurabi's code or anything like that. Like,
right.
So what the heck?
There are good ways of including religious history as a part of world history and in talking about the beliefs and practices of peoples as a part of understanding their culture while you're studying them.
Definitely. That's a huge part of anthropology.
Yeah. Proselytizing does not belong in public education.
And I completely agree with that.
And there is a, it turns out it can, it's not really a fine line between the two, but yeah, this group went way past it. And in the rush to figure out how to do online education last spring, and then the rush again over the summer, getting ready for the new school year and trying to pick maybe some better options. Yeah. Mistakes have been made.
Oh yeah, definitely. But Hawaii looks like they're not afraid to fix them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those where a lot of already existing online education programs have been explicitly Christian because they were set up for Christian homeschool students.
Right. Because they want to stay out of like the public school or.
Yeah.
Because they want to have their own worldview centric education.
Yep. But yeah, this complaint, it was reviewed by the Hawaii Department of Education, and they decided that, yeah, this was wrong, and they are starting a general review of their online programs for religious, racist, and misogynistic content.
That's awesome. That's really good to hear.
Yeah.
Because, like, as a comedy fan, I'm familiar with, like, Greg Proops. He once had a bit where he described Hawaii as Alabama with volcanoes, so. So that's good that they're not letting this stand.
Oh, man, I, with a family virtual Thanksgiving gathering, I described Idaho as South Carolina in the mountains.
Right. I have a friend, Eric Lyons. He also has a joke similar to that, talking about when Idahoans talk about the South wanting to secede, because he's always saying, like, what are you talking about? If the South secedes, we're going with them, because Idaho is the South's Alaska.
Yeah. And one of the things that was funny is that, at least in terms of driving time, Boise to Atlanta, Idaho is about the same travel time as Charleston, South Carolina to Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Carolina's in the mountains. I like it. One of your listeners should make a travel poster with that phrase.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. All right. So our next story is the first religious liberty complaint that our newest justice, Amy Coney Barrett, got to weigh in on. This was specifically the combining of two cases, one a Roman Catholic church and one a Orthodox Jewish synagogue. They were in the Brooklyn and Queens boroughs of New York City, and they had sued to get the attendance limits overturned for being in a red or orange zone. And the way New York is handling lockdowns now is a highly targeted, like down to the zip code, borough, county, or city level. So as narrow as they need to get, and categorizing it as either green, yellow, orange, or red. And if you got down to red, attendance was capped for any public gathering at 10 people. In orange, attendance was capped at no more than 25 people. Now, interestingly, as this case has worked through the courts, and it went really quick, both of these congregations have moved into yellow zones, which cap worship services at 50% of maximum capacity. So a percentage, not a raw, not a flat number. The Supreme Court ruling, the Supreme Court up to this point had ruled every single time in favor of restrictions, with the justification being it's not the court's place to second guess health officials, which was a good stance to have.
Right. Yeah, that's the only stance to take, because you're all legal experts. You're not health experts.
Right. And even in some of those earlier rulings, they did take note that they weren't really comfortable with some of the seemingly more harsh on religions than other groups' stances. This is despite the fact that when you look at it from a public health standpoint, religious gatherings are often super spreader events.
Mm-hmm.
because religions that are holding in-person gatherings tend to be less likely to have people showing up in masks. This ruling, though, was a 5-4 ruling, with John Roberts siding with the three liberal justices, and the rest of the conservatives, including Barrett, all agreeing that you can't have flat numerical limits on churches.
But you can.
You can do percentages, but you can't. They're saying that you can't do flat limits anymore.
Well, if there's like a particular statistical analysis of how many people together are going to cause a likelihood of the spreading to rise, then like that is a hard and fast number. That's not a percentage. It doesn't matter what the percentage is.
I know, and I totally agree. This was a stupid ruling.
Yeah, this is really dumb. And the Supreme Court was doing so well for so long.
Yeah. Right. It wasn't hard to get this one right. The correct answer was always, this is a national emergency. It is also a local emergency. The federal government does not have police powers. It is the state and local governments that do. And those state and local governments can do whatever they need to do to keep their people safe. But this decision was that, no, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo was wrong in putting in limits of 10 or 25 people.
But he wasn't.
Right. Now, like, what's...
You guys are demonstrably wrong.
Yeah. And what's one of the things that's really frustrating here is, normally in a case like this, it would have been thrown out as the plaintiffs not having standing because there was no longer an active case or controversy. They moved to yellow. They weren't in the red or orange categories. They were in their zones had moved to yellow. So this is a ruling that doesn't change anything for the plaintiffs.
Yeah, that is so frustrating. So like, there's an obvious bias here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So is there a percentage of concerts that can still go on? Or is this just going to be applying to people that vote conservatively consistently? Is that...
Oh, this isn't even doing that. It is religion. If it's a religious service, you can't do raw numerical limits. So you always, based on this, you will always have to have you'll have to specially single out churches with a looser restriction than anybody else.
I just hate it so much.
Yeah, this is wrong. And this is exactly what people have been worrying will happen with a Justice Barrett.
Yeah, it's very much what I've been worried about, too. Like, I really enjoyed seeing a Supreme Court that makes empirical decisions based on evidence. And now they're going to go in what I will softly call a new direction.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the new direction is basically that the Establishment Clause now means nothing. It's, you have to give special privileges to religion. Religion is a privileged position that has to take precedence over everything else.
We need to find groups that are actively combating this and donate that to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, I don't donate much because I don't have that much, but still, like, $10 or whatever on a regular basis.
Yeah, and there are, you've got Freedom From Religion Foundation and American Atheists, American Humanist Association. They're all trying to fight this best they can. A lot of them have had to change their focus because of how the Supreme Court has changed.
Mm-hmm.
American Atheists has shifted to focusing more on building local communities and trying to make change at the local level, whereas Secular Coalition for America has shifted more towards lobbying Congress, and that's left American Humanist Association and Freedom From Religion Foundation as being the ones that are still trying to do what they can to save church-state separation in the courts.
Yeah, well, that's good. I think that's important work to do.
And all of those angles are important ones to work on. All right, so for our next story, the Pennsylvania House of Representatives, as well as the Pennsylvania State Senate, both have bills calling for the state to withdraw certification of the presidential elections and appoint their own slate of electors for Donald Trump.
Oh, no. this is not going to happen.
Yeah, this is almost hilarious because
how sore losers is this culture turning into? This is insane.
Well, we know that the Trump administration or the Trump campaign was looking at the possibility of if they lost the vote to try this tactic.
I can't believe how much planning and thought has gone into illegal maneuvering to game the system.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everything that they have crowed that the Democratic side has been doing, which is not happening, is what they're doing and now on board with. It's like this is the modern fable telling us to, as you fight monsters made up or real, to not become them, because you become the real monster.
Well, and what's one thing that's kind of crazy is in after the 2016 election, there was an effort by a moderate lawyer who did not want to see Donald Trump as president to get electors to vote for somebody other than Trump or Clinton. And he managed to get, and the goal with this was to try and get enough to make it so that nobody got a majority, and then it would be decided in Congress, and then try and get a reasonable Republican to be president instead of Trump. They managed to get 7 electors to switch their votes to Bernie Sanders, Mickey Mouse, John Kasich, random people. It didn't have to be anyone in particular, just needed to be not one of the 2 candidates. 7 did change their votes. And several states sued those electors, and it did go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that whatever a state's rules are for how electors are chosen and what electors can do is the law. So if a state has a law that says that you have to vote the way you're pledged, you have to vote the way you're pledged. Like, you can't say that you'll vote for the candidate that you're supposed to go vote for and then not do it.
Right.
That ruling also included in it that if a state has decided that the voters pick the electors, then the voters pick the electors.
Yeah. And like, the only thing I have a problem with is people that are trying to game it and change what was in place before the election, because that is cheating. There's no other
Absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Pennsylvania state law says that the winner of the electoral vote or of the presidential election in the state gets all of the state's electors. There is nothing in the Pennsylvania state law that says that the state legislature can overturn that.
Yeah, which is good. Because at a certain point, you try to flip and do all these maneuverings, and suddenly it's just not democracy.
Right. And crazy enough, that's actually one of the reasons why the Supreme Court stepped in the 2000 presidential election was Florida, because they were having trouble picking who was their winner. Florida decided to, the state legislature in Florida at the time was starting to work on a bill to appoint their own. Just give up on counting the vote. And the Supreme Court didn't want that to happen, so they weighed in on getting the vote counting to stop, so that the voters could still choose in some way.
Fascinating.
Yeah. And the justification they're using in Pennsylvania for this is the claim that this was a compromised election, that there was too much fraud. Still, nobody has been able to provide evidence of any fraud.
Yeah, in this one, right?
In this one, yeah.
Yeah, like everything keeps, like my favorite phrase, like I don't remember what it is. Somebody was shown that the Trump documents are denied as moot. That was the phrase.
Yeah.
Denied as, that is the name of this chapter.
Absolutely.
My wife and I play a game when we're watching Netflix, like whenever somebody says the name of the title of the episode, you take a drink. Like, whatever you're holding, you're just like, or just fake it. Like, oh, title of the episode, take a drink. Denied as moot.
All right, so a pastor with a show called It's Supernatural, his name is Sid Roth, about 2 months ago, he had a panel that started speaking in tongues in the middle of talking about why all their viewers should vote for Donald Trump. And they prophesied that Trump would win. So, of course, Trump didn't win. So in a newer episode, The co-host asked Sid Roth about the prophecies and if Trump ends up losing. So, crap.
This is the best written paragraph I've ever seen in a news story. Roth responded by taking literally every position on the matter. Trump won. If he lost, then it was stolen from him. If he really lost, then the prophets still weren't wrong. If the prophets were wrong, then it doesn't really matter. Now I'm just imagining all that being spoken by Michael Scott.
Well, and really, he said, and I'll read the quote, "I believe that President Trump won and will win, even though it was taken away from him. That's my opinion. However, I also believe he'll probably go to the Supreme Court. So you have to understand how faith operates. I believe the word of God. I believe the prophets. Now, having said that, I'm going to take the other side of the coin. If they are all wrong, it doesn't destroy my faith in God. It destroys my faith in the accuracy of the prophets. But I still have faith in the prophets because my faith is in the word of God. I absolutely believe Trump is going to win. I haven't given up one iota. Admittedly, sometimes I can't watch the news, but I'm not being an ostrich. I'm saying I think that President Trump is a very intelligent man, has an extremely intelligent staff, and he would have just given up and said, I'll run in 4 more years or whatever if he'd lost. I do not believe he'd be spending all that money and all that energy and all that time if he didn't think there was a legitimate chance for him to win. End quote.
What? I have so many issues with so many things in that quote.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay, so I'm going to start on one of the earlier points, that he believes the prophets, that it would destroy his faith in the accuracy of the prophets, but not his faith in the prophets. These prophets are Pentecostal and charismatic modern day Christians who are prophesying. This is part of why Pentecostals are considered so batshit crazy. Most mainstream religions are not stupid enough to have living prophets. You have a living prophet when you're a crazy cult. Then, as you start to mature and try to become more mainstream, you stop having new prophets and you try to minimize the calling of your prophet's prophet. The Seventh-day Adventist Church did this with a prophet in their early days, and they never called her a prophet. She denied being called a prophet. She never wanted to be identified as one. She preferred to call herself the Lesser Light.
The Lesser Light.
And a messenger of God. She would describe herself as a prophet, but didn't want to be called a prophet because churches that have prophets are crazy cults. Since then, the Adventist Church has denied anybody else in the church other than her who has claimed to be a prophet because they want to be considered mainstream, and if you have prophets, you're going to have new prophecies, and they're going to be wrong.
Yeah, it's like the whole psychic game.
Yeah, and so this guy's running into that exact issue. He has prophets that he believes are prophets, and they were wrong. And if a prophet was wrong, either that person's... If you go with the biblical test of a prophet who gets it wrong is not a prophet and needs to be thrown out of the church.
Yeah, well, these prophets need to be thrown out of whatever this is.
All right, so that's the first point. Then there's the Trump as a very intelligent man.
Yeah, that is what I was specifically thinking of. Trump is a man that is a slave to his more baser instincts.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a form of intelligence. It's a form of weaselry.
Yeah, he is the full embodiment of like the full Freudian id.
Yes.
Like Freud would have a heyday with Trump as the embodiment of ego.
Yeah. And just like just the sheer fact that he projects everything about himself onto everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take it as everything he accuses people of or things that he does, like it makes so much sense.
Yeah. When he says something intelligent, it's because he's reading from the teleprompter.
Right. It's when he goes off book, and you can tell when he goes off book because it turns into batshit crazy.
Uh-huh. Now, I have also heard some of the recordings from Bernstein's new book, the recordings of the interviews he did with Trump that actually make Trump sound reasonably intelligent. But an intelligent person doesn't play stupid as soon as there's a camera.
Right. And when you're just in service to your id, you're going to say whatever you think you need to say to have the appearance that you want with whoever you do. So when he's talking to Woodward, right? Mm-hmm.
Woodward. I got the wrong one. Yeah, Woodward.
Yeah, Woodward. Like when he's talking to him, like he knows that Woodward is the guy that like brought down Nixon. He knows that he's a reporter. He wants Woodward's approval, so he's trying to get that whenever he's talking to him, and that causes him to say things that are probably more true than he wanted to say, but he wants in that moment to be seen as somebody intelligent. Like it's what he craves more than anything is for people to like him, because nobody ever had.
And what's crazy is when you're the president, you can easily come across as intelligent just by reading off the teleprompter and having your assistants, your speechwriters, get the details from the experts.
Yeah.
Like, you should have enough staff helping with all of that you never say anything dumb.
Yeah, but there's so many. You can just Google Trump's craziest quotes.
Suggesting that we inject bleach into our veins to treat COVID?
Oh, right. And even if you take it as, like, he means that we should find something that works like bleach, it's still...
That's
such
still
dumb
stupid.
So dumb to say.
Yeah.
Some very strong light.
has an extremely intelligent staff. That is also laughable.
Yeah. He's got a staff of toadies. Mm-hmm. That's all he wants. He wants people that will just tell him what he wants to hear and do what he wants them to do.
The competent, capable people have all left. And with his campaign, it's even worse. Like, the lawyers on his campaign keep quitting, and they're leaving Rudy Giuliani as basically it.
Yeah, and he is overheating under the stress that he's melting.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And, like, holding press conferences and parking lots and...
Right. An intelligent staff who failed at booking a conference room at the Four Seasons Hotel.
Get the Four Seasons. Four Seasons Landscaping? Close enough.
Yeah, how would you not figure out that mistake?
God, yeah, it's so hilarious and sad.
Yeah.
And you show up and it's set up in the parking lot of a landscaping company across from an adult video store, and you're like, yeah, we came all this way.
Yeah. All right. Well, then we've got former Colorado state legislator, former Navy chaplain who was fired from the Navy, which great job getting fired from being a chaplain, Gordon Klingenschmitt. He, in his latest crazy, is saying that, quote, female soldiers and students will be forced to share common showers and rooms with cross-dressing men or boys with male anatomy within hours of Biden's inauguration. Christian troops who object to sharing co-ed showers and bunks with opposite gender anatomy will be vilified as discriminators and punished, demoted, and discharged or court-martialed. Mark my words, the devil wants an atheist army for the Antichrist soon.
I just found the name of my blog.
Yeah, how can I enlist for this atheist army for the Antichrist?
You're listening to Atheist Army for the Antichrist.
I know! This is stupid and ridiculous.
Okay, well, let's pull back just for a second to the previous thing he was worried about. Female soldiers and students will be forced to share common showers and rooms with cross-dressing men or boys with male anatomy. I think somebody really got hung up on that shower scene from Starship Troopers.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
That's all that was going through my head when that was going through there. I'm just like, what is happening here? No, that will not happen.
Yeah. The military has worked out policies and procedures on having trans service members, and it works. And it's been happening long enough, even though Trump's been trying to stop it, that it isn't causing a problem for the military. Like, there is no actual issue. So all of these complaints are not real problems.
Right. Like, most of the things brought up by current leadership, they're not real problems, and they're just facades to do what they want.
Mm-hmm. And what I think he was trying to mean by the vilified as discriminators and punished, demoted, or discharged What he's trying to say is that Christians will be kicked out of the military, so the only people left will be atheists.
For the Antichrist.
For the Antichrist. And even that is absurd. When you look at the overwhelming number of members of the military who are Christian, the overwhelming number of officers who are Christians, and even if you got rid of all the Christians, it still wouldn't be an atheist army. You would still have Muslims and Jews and Sikhs and Buddhists and Hindus,
yeah,
and other religions represented too.
Yeah, because religious freedom is a thing in country still, and it's weird how people will defend constitutional right to like the other ones, like all the other why am I blanking on the word? You know, the numbered laws in the Constitution.
the amendments?
The amendments. Thank you. Yeah, they will defend all the amendments except for, and just kind of like just gloss over freedom of religion in the first one. So,
yeah. Well, also,
we are a Christian nation. No, actually, as like the original founders push glasses up their nose, actually.
Yeah, like they will scream about wanting religious liberty while fighting against freedom of religion.
Yeah, no, like, but really, it's like it's a fake fight like everything else. It's just the fact they think that people should be allowed to not make wedding cakes for gay weddings. Like, mm-hmm. It's because it's you. And yeah, it's just annoying. Just say what you want to say. Let people know to the full extent how big of an asshole you are and quit trying to hide it.
Yeah, yeah. In Saudi Arabia, Lujain Al-Hathloul was arrested in 2018 for being one of dozens of women driving cars. Like, she helped organize a mass protest and got dozens of women behind the wheel in protest against the prohibition of women driving. Literally weeks before it would have been okay. This was the protest that got the law changed. And so she's been working through the courts, as the normal courts have been finding it impossible to actually prosecute her, considering the things that I just said.
Right.
She shouldn't be getting prosecuted. So they transferred her case to a terrorism court.
What? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's terrorism to try to give women the right to drive.
So now the issue isn't that she was driving against the law, it's so that she organized a protest.
This is upsetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The criminal court decided they didn't have jurisdiction over her case.
Well, what's going to happen now?
She'll go to a terrorism court and probably be ruled a terrorist and either get lashes or beheaded.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's, if you get sent to the terrorism court, it will not end well for you.
This is the worst story I've ever heard.
it really is. Saudi Arabia is just one of those wonderful places with great human rights.
Are they still burn witches?
Yeah, and you see it in the news all the time about how MBS, the new Mohammed bin Salud, the new crown prince who is running the country, is bringing all these liberal reforms, is making everything better, advancing human rights by leaps and bounds. You can't advance human rights by, like, you can't just take credit to what the protesters were trying to get if you send them to terrorism courts.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. Like, this is such an oppressive tactic. It's like, oh, we don't have any legal recourse, so we're just going to send you to this automatic win.
Yeah. Yep. In Egypt, on Al-Hadath Al-Yum TV, a researcher by the name of Ahmad Abdu Maher made a interesting statement. He said, quote, "There is no doubt that the young people who are becoming atheists are giving this lots of thought. They do not become atheists because they are cowards who like heresy. Today, when someone in high school, at university, or who has just graduated, when he opens up a book and he sees that according to all four schools of Islamic jurisprudence, a man cannot bring his sick wife, a doctor, or some medicine, do you see? When these texts say that a pregnancy can last for 4 years and that the child must be named after his father, even if they've been divorced for 3 years or if he has been dead for 4 years, things like this are why young people become atheists and heretics," end quote.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of part of why I was not a religious person, is I'm just the inconsistency. Like, it's obviously not factual.
Yeah. When you have a religion like Islam and like the more conservative forms of Christianity, where it's entirely based on fact claims about the world and literally following the rules of a book that makes very literal claims of fact, when you can verify that those facts are wrong or horribly unethical, it shakes people's faith.
Totally. It's like a lot of the things that I don't like about the Bible are about, like, why can't you wear two different kinds of cloth at the same time, like that kind of stuff. It just all seems, and maybe there was a reason back then for not eating pork or that kind of thing, like maybe it was easy to get sick from it, but a lot of the rules included are just because they needed people to do certain things, and they made up mysticism as why you need to do it. It's, everything about religion is created by man for a specific reason.
And when you encourage people to read the holy books, you have to expect that they're going to actually think through what they're reading. They'll reflect like, on it.
600 years old? What?
And a pregnancy lasting 4 years?
Were they an elephant?
It's only 2 years for an elephant.
Right. Yeah. Even that. Like, and that's the longest, I think, that I know about.
Rhinos can hold on to sperm for about 2 years before a 2-year pregnancy. So it would make sense for a rhino to be able to have a baby from a father that's been dead for 4 years. Not a human.
Yeah, so I'm going to start worshiping rhinoceri. That's...
Man,
that is a good idea, though.
But this is incredible that this researcher was saying that, you know, explaining why people are becoming atheists and getting it all right, and then still calling them heretics.
Yeah, I don't know. That... I'm a heretic. I'll own it.
All right, and our final story is from China.
China, of course.
Yeah, China is working on new draft rules to create new restrictions on how foreigners worship in the country.
All right, I'm interested in hearing more about this.
So they have their existing clampdown on Chinese citizens and their religious practices, including the genocide happening in the region of Xinjiang, or East Turkestan, as some people are starting, or as I've recently discovered that some people are calling it. They've got that going on, but now, they're concerned about foreigners in the country. Specifically, they're saying they're afraid of them spreading religious extremism or using religion to undermine China's national and ethnic unity. So that means that if you are a American working for a company in China and you are Catholic and you promote to other Catholics that they should be loyal to the Pope and not the Chinese Communist Party, at least as far as the church dogma goes, that would be promoting religious extremism.
Oh, and that's a paddling.
A Muslim in China would get into even bigger trouble. But there are official forms of religion in China. So even though China is a officially atheistic country, there are 5 licensed religions. There is Chinese Buddhism, Taoism, Islam, Catholicism, and Protestantism. They are all supervised by a body that works for the Chinese Communist Party, such as the Protestant Three Self Patriotic Movement. So if you are a part of a Protestant church, that church is under the Protestant Three Self Patriotic Movement. If you are Buddhist, you are under the Buddhist Association of China. And with Catholicism, there is the Chinese licensed form of Catholicism, which includes the Communist Party appointing bishops and the archbishops and cardinals and the like, not the Pope. So probably no cardinals, but they appoint the bishops and priests. Foreigners have been given more freedom as long as they don't proselytize.
But that's the fun.
Especially for Mormons. who want to build a temple in China.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to be liked by China.
No.
Unless they come up with a sixth, like, Chinese Mormonism.
Yep. And I don't think Salt Lake would like that.
Probably not. Oh, man, that would be fun to see.
Yeah. So, yeah, they aren't going to be really cracking down on foreigners as long as foreigners stick to other foreigners.
Yeah, don't try taking any of our game pieces.
Right. They're going to be looking at stuff like I learned about in college, some presentations put on by Adventist Frontier Missions, who were trying to recruit people to go to Xinjiang specifically. To work at pretend to be English teachers and then try and convert the Muslims there to become Seventh-day Adventist Muslims. But it's not that you're going there to be a missionary, you're going there to be an English teacher.
Right. And I get emails from the company that sends people from that are recently graduating to teach English in other countries, and that is at the bottom. You do have to try to install a religious...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so this is a thing that has been going on. You know, I'm sure there are Mormons who go to China just for business reasons. I doubt any of them would have any qualms about trying to convert their business associates.
Yeah, definitely. Because like that's what they like to do. Like, that's mm-hmm. the game. How many points you collect is how many people you get interested.
Yeah.
You can brag about it at the church.
Yeah. That is the last story. So, Jason, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, this was great. It's been nice to get on and talk about these stories again, because like I get buried in school all the time. I don't stay on top of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have any feedback, but if you want to reach us, you can send us an email at contact@atheistnomads.com or use the feedback form on the website. If you want to support the show, you can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. Or just go to patreon.com/atheistnomads. And until next week, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.